Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Y'all ready? Got your Bible? Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, give God your best shout, a shout of victory. Amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to the book of Galatians. I want to talk about don't quit. And, you know, during the time of COVID, I've tried to be very irrelevant and very on spot of what people are feeling. If you look back over all these months since March, and you look back over our archives of services and devotionals, it's all about helping you get through. It's all about helping you deal with emotions that we're all dealing with. You know, I'll have people once in a while, they'll email me and they say, Pastor, why don't you talk about the gap theory and the dinosaurs? Why don't you talk about this? Why don't you talk about that? Well, you know what? I don't think people really care about dinosaurs right now. I think we just want to know, how are we going to get through this without collateral damage to our children, our marriage, our health, our job, our career, our spiritual walk? How are we going to get through this as strong witnesses? How are we going to get through this as overcomers and it not beat us, but we beat it? I think that's what's on most people's minds is how do I get through, but get through victoriously? So we've tried to deal with emotions and feelings and things that everyone's going through. And I think everyone has felt like quitting at one time or another. I mean, the pressure, the problem, the pain, the misery, the disruption, the strife, the dissension, all this going on in our nation, never like before. I grew up in the 60s. It wasn't anything like it is today. All right, so how do we deal with it? So I want to talk about don't quit. What do you do when you feel like quitting? And so let's look at it. I'm going to give you some scriptures to base it on, and then I'll give you, I think, a few takeaways. Is that all right with everybody? And hopefully, if you know of someone right now that's going through a struggle and they want to give up and they just want to quit and walk away and they can't keep on keeping on, you might want to share this service with them. You might want to get them plugged in to be a part of what's happening here today. Galatians 6, verse 7. I'm going to read it from a couple of translations. I believe that the Living Bible. We'll do the Living Bible. I like that the best. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. I think COVID is a wake-up call. I think it's a wake-up call. Did God do it? No, but it's because the world is broken. The world is cursed. Well, Pastor, why is the world broken? Because of man's rebellion. Man's rebellion in the garden of Adam and Eve brought sin and brokenness. Sin broke everything in this world. Sin came because of man's rebellion against God. You can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop that he sows. Now, I'm a farm boy from Iowa, and I know this. Both of my grandparents were farmers. They had farms, and I know you're going to reap what you sow. I know if you want corn, don't plant tomato. Right, everybody? So what's the big deal? Well, if you want friends, be one. If you want peace, sow it. If you want happiness, give it away. If you want more money, sow more money. If you want people to be kind to you, be kind to them. You know, whatever the kind of life you want, sow for it. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. Don't answer me out loud, but have you ever got tired of doing what is right? I have. A Oh, yeah, I have. Daniel alluded to it during the song, and I love that song that he sang. I love that. I'm glad we're learning that, the words in that song. But, you know, Daniel exhorted you today that maybe you've been standing for a healing or breakthrough for your family for years and years and years, and he encouraged us, don't stop declaring the word. You know, it's easy to get tired of doing what's right. You know, sometimes it gets tired of just getting up and having your devotional. I mean, we're all flesh, and we're all, if we're honest with ourselves, there are some days that we'd rather not do what is right. Someday we'd just like to go out and do what was wrong. I'm working on you. I'm working the crowd here today. How about y'all in the drive-in? Can I have a toot on your horn out there? Praise the Lord. Let us not get weary of doing what is right. For after a while, and Pastor Kim talked about weariness, breaking that spirit off of us, you do know in the Bible, it's in the Bible, that the Bible says in the last days, the devil's going to try to, King James Version uses the word wear. The devil's going to try to wear us out. That's in the Bible. In the King James Version, it uses the word wear. So one of the tactics in the last days is the devil's going to try to wear us out. So that's why I'm arming you and equipping you today to help you get through weariness and the tendency to want to retreat, shrink back, do less, or even give up. So let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing. Watch this now. This is where I get my title. If we don't get discouraged and what? Give up. Wow, what great instruction right there. If we just won't quit, and if we'll just keep doing what is right, eventually we'll get the harvest we want. If we just won't quit, if we just won't give up, and we'll keep sowing the right seeds, eventually we're going to get the harvest we want. Now, usually it takes longer than we want it to take, right? I found out in my lifetime that God's due time is not my due time. Can I have a... Hallelujah. So it's so true. But notice, what does he say? Even though you're tired of doing it, tithing, giving, serving, sharing, going to church, gathering, having devotion, praying with your family, doing what's right. He said, don't get weary and get discouraged and give up. The devil will try to wear us down. The devil will try to give us to give up. The devil will try to steal the word from us. Am I right? Parable of the sower sows the seed. He comes immediately to get the word. And so he says, if we won't get weary, get discouraged, and give up, keep sowing those seeds. Keep doing what's right, even when you don't feel like doing it. Even when you're tired and you're worn out and you're weary and you'd rather stay home and you'd rather not go and you'd rather not do it, if you'll continue to do what is right, because we all get weary in doing what is right. But even if you'll just keep doing what is right and sowing those seeds, you'll get the harvest that you want. Just don't quit. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't quit. Amen. All right. So isn't that good? I like it in the Living Bible. Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Out of this passage, I want to give you seven things that will help us not to quit. Seven things when we're doing what's right, but we're tired of doing what's right, and we're ready for a breakthrough, and it hasn't come yet, and our flesh wants to quit and give up. How do we keep from quitting and giving up? Even though we're weary and the devil's trying to wear us down and wear us out and burn us out, what do we do? All seven things are found here in Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through it in the King James Version and then, or the NLT, and then I'm going to come back in the King James Version. Is that okay with everybody? Then I'm going to give you seven things to do that will help you and me not to quit, and then we're going to go out and have funnel cake. I think it's working this morning, guys. I got a witness on the funnel cake. Amen. And it's good, isn't it? Oh, that funnel cake's bad to the bone. It gets on your bones. Amen. Praise God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, now he's referring to Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, and your loved ones and friends that have gone before you into heaven. So he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Every weight that slows us down, especially the sin. Now, did y'all notice here in the NLT, it doesn't say sins, plural. It says sin, singular. And did you notice that there's a difference between a weight and a sin? He said, lay aside the weight and the, not sins, but and the sin, singular. So there's one sin, one tool, one weapon the devil uses more than any other weapon. Wow, to get us off track. But what I want you to see is notice this. He said, remember, he said, you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And then he said, strip off every weight that slows us down. That's a good encouragement, isn't it? I mean, have you ever tried Daniel and I? You know, we work out. And when we work out, there's this part of the workout sometimes is called the sled pull. And, you know, it's just it's this little sled, and you put weights on top of it, and it has a harness. You put it over the top, and you're supposed to run with that weight. Well, you know, his coach, who's from San Diego, California, his coach will tell him, okay, now I want you to run a mile in this certain amount of time. And so we'll run a mile, and I don't make it in that certain amount of time, but Daniel does. I'm working on it now. Don't, you know, give me some slack now. Call those things that, okay, praise God. And so I'm working on it. Okay, I'm going to get it eventually. But then he says, okay, get the sled, do a sled pull, put some weight on it, and then run the same mile. How many know you can't run as fast with that weight? And so what he's saying is, notice, a weight is not a sin. So a weight is something that's good but not best for you to run your race. A weight is something that there's nothing wrong with it at all. But yet, if you don't eliminate it, it's going to slow you down. So then the sin, not sins, but the sin. And Pastor, what is that sin? Well, I've taught you that you interpret Scripture with Scripture, not through social media, but with Scripture. And so this passage is going to interpret for us and tell us what the sin the devil uses more than any other to get us to quit. The sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance or patience or perseverance the race that God has set before us. Did you know that? I want y'all to run the race God has set. Not your parents, not an institution, organization, or a preacher, or a well-meaning friend. You don't want to run the race they set for you. You want to run the race that God has set for you. Verse 2, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. This morning, Neil talked about we have champions in the house, and I believe we do. We have champions in the house. Amen? A champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy that was awaiting him, because of the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Wow, there's a lot of hostility going on right now, right? From sinful people. Then you won't become, think about what Jesus went through for you. And think about he went through it as a champion. Then what? If you'll think on that, then what? You won't become weary and you won't give up. Oh, my goodness. So there are seven things here that if we'll do them, then it will help us. Even though the devil's trying to wear you out, wear me out. If we'll do these seven things, then we won't get worn out. We'll get weary, but we won't quit. Or we'll get weary, but we won't quit. There's nothing wrong in getting weary as long as you don't allow the weariness to take control over you and cause you to give up and quit. Come on, somebody. All right? So now I want to read it to you from the King James Version. If we can go back to, or go to Hebrews 12 and verse 3 in the King James. Guys, whatever you want to do there, however you want to do it, awesome. Okay? So now let's look at the King James. Y'all still with me? So be watching now because this is God talking to us. If you're weary today, you're worn out, and you're tired of doing what's right, and the devil's beating you down, wearing you down, that's his tactic. What do we need to do? We're going to talk about it in just a moment. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Again, I bring to your attention, not sins, but sin. Not plural, lots of sins, but one particular sin. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. A weight is not a sin. A weight could be a relationship that's not bad, but it's just slowing you down. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, a peer. It's not bad, that movie or that, you know, what you're watching on Netflix, that series. It's not bad, but it's just slowing you down. Those habits that aren't really bad in our life, but they're okay, but they're slowing us down from becoming the person and achieving what God created us to do. He said, lay those weights aside. Wow. And then the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience, endurance, perseverance. And here's what we know. I need perseverance to possess the promises. Without perseverance, without patience, without endurance, I won't possess the promises. So patience, the race that is set before us. Next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad that he's the author and the finisher? He's going to help us finish strong. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set in front of him, he endured. Something helped him endure. Something helped him get through what he was going through. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against him, all that he went through, the persecution, all that he went through, lest you be wearied, we're talking about weariness in doing the right things, getting weary, getting tired, getting beat down to eventually giving up. We don't want to give up. That's not the order of the day for a champion like you, right? So I told you earlier, the sin that so easily besets us and causes us to quit, you want to know what it is? Fainting in your mind. There it is. It's a context, same context. Scripture interprets scripture. What is the sin? Not sins. It mentions just one singular sin. And then in the next verses, it lets us know what it is that gets us weary and causes us to give up. What is it? Fainting in your mind. What is a fainted mind? What is a mind that has fainted? What is a fainted mind? What causes a mind to faint? Discouragement. Discouragement. What is that one sin that gets us off track, gets us weary, worn out, and tired of doing the right thing to eventually we talk ourselves into and allow others to talk us into quitting? It's called discouragement. Now, discouragement comes to all of us, but the key is, it's not a sin to get discouraged, it's a sin to stay there, right? It's not a sin to get discouraged, it's a sin to stay there, because the devil will use discouragement to get you off track, to get you and keep you from finishing your race, to get you to quit, give up, and stop keeping on. Am I helping anybody today? All right. So consider him, look at him that endured the contradiction. That means all the persecution, all the opposition, all the struggling, all the pain, all the misunderstanding that he went through, lest you get weary and faint in your mind. Remember, my mind has to go there before my feet will ever go there. I don't understand that, Pastor. As a person thinks in their heart, so shall they be. You've heard me say it for 37 years. Your most dominant thought that you think all the time gives you the direction your life is heading. So you go there in your mind before you ever go there with your life, your feet. Where's the battleground today? It's in our mind. Where does the devil try to wear us out? In our mind. Where does he attack us? With our thought life. It's called stress, right? It's called stress. When we think on the negative and we think on those lies and we think on the thoughts that the devil is shooting fiery darts at us, if we think on them long enough, they'll wear us down, they'll wear us out, they'll discourage us, and we'll give up and quit. So the key is what? We have to guard our mind. We have to guard our mind. We have to renew our mind. We have to be specific with what we let have real estate in our mind. Well, I'm ready to praise the Lord. Are you ready to praise the Lord? Can we have a praise break right now? Oh, thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, so we're talking about don't quit. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't quit. Tell them you're too close. Your breakthrough is around the corner. All right, so let me give you seven things that we saw here in this passage of Scripture. You still with me? I'll hustle. I'm going to do this quickly, but if you don't get them written down, you know, you can go back to our archives on our website. So what do we find out? What do you do when you feel like giving up? You remember heaven is watching. You remember those cloud of witnesses? Remember Abraham and Noah and Isaac and Rahab and Joseph and the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Remember, Hebrews 11 comes before Hebrews 12. And remember, when they wrote the Bible, there were no chapters and verses. So it's referring to heroes of faith, but not only that, it's referring to your loved ones that knew the Lord and your friends that have passed before you, that they're in heaven. So what does he say? Remember the cloud of witnesses that are watching. Pastor, do you think they can see what we're doing? I don't have scripture for this other than this scripture, but I think once in a while, God might give them a little peek. They might be able to look over the banister of heaven and just see something amazing happening in your life. I don't know other than this passage, but every commentary I've read on this passage says that. They all believe that. And so remember that heaven is watching. That's why I started with the illustration that sometimes when I want to give up, I hear my dad's voice and I hear him praying. I have a picture that when Kim and I were ordained, we were Assemblies of God ministers, and when we were ordained into the ministry, I have a picture at home of my dad and my mom standing next to Kim and I. A lot of times when I've wanted to quit the ministry, I'll go by there, I look at that picture, and I say, I can't quit. I remember my father and his legacy. Think about the people who've gone on before you, a grandfather, a grandmother, an aunt, or uncle. You all got somebody. A friend who stood for you, prayed for you, a friend that was, or a family member that was a role model. And you know what? Just when you think about quitting, I think, I can't quit because of their legacy. Remember, heaven is watching. Can I have a witness in the house? All right, a toot across the street, praise the Lord. A bark from the puppy dogs, amen. Never thought we'd be here, but we're here. Number two, lay aside every weight. If I feel like quitting, then there are some things on my sled I'm pulling, some baggage, some junk, some hurts, some wounds. I'm carrying something I shouldn't be carrying. Didn't he say, come to me? He said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. So we need to lay aside every weight. Now, these are not sins. These are good things that aren't sin, but they're hindering you from being your best and getting to your destination on time. So what do we do with this? You and I need to sit down during COVID. It's a wake-up call. We need to evaluate our life. Look at your relationships. Look at your habits. Look at your patterns. Look at how you respond. Look at what you read, what you watch, how much time. Look at your time management. We need to sit down and evaluate and examine so we can be more effective. Amen, everybody? So lay aside every weight. Number three is lay aside the weight of discouragement. That was that sin. I should have had sin there. My fault. Lay aside the sin of discouragement. Not a sin to get discouraged, but it's a sin to stay there. Okay? All right. Then number four, run with patience. As Josh comes out, We got to run our race with what? Endurance, perseverance, and patience. What is patience? It's staying power under pressure. Patience is the right response to difficulty and delays and disappointments. Patience is the right response to disappointments, delays, you know. It's the right response under pressure. It's staying power. I'll never possess the promises without perseverance. So I have to run my race with patience. Now, let me give you a scripture for that. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of funnel cakes. Oh, no. For you have need of that after you've done the will of God, so you're able to receive the promises of God. Doesn't say it's an option. It says you're going to need it. If you want your family restored, you're going to need it. If you want your health back, you're going to need it. If you want to make more money, you're going to need it. If you want to start that business, you're going to need it. Whatever promise, and there are 7,000, whatever promise you want to possess, it will take. You need it. It's not an option. It's a requirement. Patience. Because without staying power, you'll never possess the promised land. Does that make sense to everybody? So we have to work on and develop our patience. By the way, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And really, I hate to say this. Pastor, how do I develop patience under pressure? I didn't like that either. But it's true, right? How do you develop your muscles? Not at McDonald's, right? You don't develop your muscles at McDonald's. You develop your muscles in the gym, right? Well, how do you develop patience? Develop patience under pressure. I'll move right along real quick. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember it said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So look unto Jesus. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we'll begin to sink. Remember Peter? He said to any of the disciples, come. He gave him a rhema word. Peter was the only one, but he got out of that boat and he walked on the water. So let's don't get down on Peter. Last time I tried walking in the bathtub with water, it didn't work. How about y'all? I didn't get very far. So I'm not knocking Peter. He walked. Well, what caused him to fail and sink? When he got his eyes off Jesus and when he looked at the wind and the waves and the storm, right? Then he quit walking. So keep your eyes on Jesus. How many people do you know that used to go to church with you somewhere that no longer go because they got hurt by someone? Got their eyes off Jesus. Got their eyes on people. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, let me show you what that does. When we put our eyes on Jesus, it opens our heart to him. Oh, yeah. Because where your eyes go, desires follow. Ooh, I like that. Where your eyes go, what you look upon, didn't Eve look upon the fruit and desired it? Desires come from what you're looking at. Right? You go out to eat today. What do they have on the table? A picture of the dessert. I'm on a 21-day fast. Bless God. Hallelujah. Gonna pull. Thank you, Jesus. And you look at that picture on the table of that dessert. And your eyes fasten on it. And what happens? Then you desire it. And then you say, God, I'll start tomorrow. Let's have that banana cake, whatever that is. Praise God. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So keep your eyes on Jesus. What we look on gets bigger and larger, but when we look upon Jesus, it opens our heart to him. Oh, I like that. How do you keep on keeping on? How do you not quit? Number six, you focus on your future. Where was that, Pastor? I didn't see that. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy? The church. The church hadn't been born yet. The church wasn't born until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The church did not exist. It was called a mystery in the Old Testament. So what did he see? And that's why when some people, they don't see the need for church. They don't think it's essential. Come on, give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, I can't make it without y'all, without the church. It's very essential. It's very essential. Jesus died for the church. Check out any commentary. They'll tell you the joy that was set before him was you, and the new birth was the church. So what was he looking at? His future family. He was looking at his future. Don't lose sight of your future. That's why I love that song Daniel sang, better, right? Say it with me. My future is going to be better than my past. Last point, number 7, is how to not quit is stay full of the word. Stay full of the word. Why do we confess this is my Bible? I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the uncompromised word of God. Because if you're weak today, it's because you're weak in the word. The stronger I get in the word, the stronger I am spiritually. Let me show you. I love this. Psalm 119:28. Let's all read it on the count of 3. This is the message. I love this. 1, 2, 3. How do we get built up again? By the word. If I'm weak today, if I'm weary today, if I want to give up today, then what's a good thing for me to do? Get back in the word. Because my life, you all seen it out in the countryside. It's beautiful out there now, isn't it? The leaves are turning. But you all seen those dilapidated barns. And I always visualize what they were like in their heyday. Get it? Heyday. You guys are tough. I'll see you at the funnel cake in just a minute, okay? But in their heyday, what that barn looked like when it was brand new is operating. Wow. But now it's dilapidated and sad. That's not the picture God wants of our life and your life and my life. And he says, build me up once again. How? Through and by your word. 7 ways. Does that help anybody today? Amen, amen, amen. Say it with me. I am not going to quit. I am going to keep on keeping on. Now give Jesus, he's Lord. Give him all the praise, would you? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody standing, and don't leave me quite yet. Across the street, those of you at home right now is the biggest decision you'll ever make. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to pray a generic prayer right now. Maybe you're weary, worn out, struggling. We've all been there. You want to give up. You're hurting. You're dragging. You're empty. We've all been there. Jesus said, when you're like that, come unto me. All ye that are heavy laden, burdened, stressed out. He's saying, I can de-stress you. I like that. He said, I'll take your burden from you. My burden is light, he said. So we're going to pray a prayer for those who want to come to the Lord. They're going to come to him today. Those who want to rededicate their life to him afresh and anew. Maybe there's some weights that need to be eliminated. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say it with me, please. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I declare Jesus is Lord over my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate with heaven? Y'all can look up. Amen. Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.